We are experiencing this bout of anger throughout the country regarding ticket prices to watch the Springboks play, as well as unhappiness with suite owners. So sitting with me today is a bit of a Pirates legend in Mark Murray, who has done everything he tells me, from being chief cook and bottle washer. Anything he didn't do is play for Pirates. He played his rugby elsewhere, right, Mark?
He says.
You did. And Mark used to be the chairman of Pirates Rugby Club, and he's just presented me with some letters, correspondence going between Pirates Rugby Club and Ellis Park, because Ellis Park is an entity, not Lions Rugby, but Ellis Park Stadium is a business, and the suites that are operated there by the clubs, and the clubs rely on those suites for lifeblood, have now been taken back under the clean stadium clause in the host venue agreements with SA Rugby, and so the clubs have lost out on a considerable amount of revenue. In the case of Pirates, Mark's telling me that we're looking at R750,000, so that's the club's lifeblood. So Mark, how do you feel as a rugby club? I see by the letter that you guys wrote to Ellis Park that Pirates Rugby Club has supported rugby in Joburg and Lions Rugby for 32 years. And now the rug is not even proverbially, actually literally pulled from under your feet, and you lose the revenue. Do you want to just tell us how that makes you guys feel?
At the end of the day, club rugby survives. And if you look at what Pirates and Wanderers have done over the many, many years and supported Transvaal Lions rugby, to have the rug pulled out after 6 months of hard negotiation between ourselves, SA Rugby and the Lions, to have it done, and that we've lost an amazing base of clients and clientele that we've had over all the years that have come back, and they come and support the Lions on a Saturday, and now we can't offer them anything. And basically we've lost 250 loyal supporters to the kickoff at Pirates Rugby and the Lions Rugby as well. It's really put Pirates Rugby in a jeopardy situation.
So, Mark, if I look at it as an outsider, it would appear to me that the fault, it doesn't so much lie with Ellis Park and Lions Rugby, but more with SARU, who are just not reading the room, and their greed has reached such proportions now that they are losing these people like Pirates and Wanderers rugby supporters, who for 32 years have been the lifeblood of these clubs. And can you just talk to me a little bit about the numbers that you mentioned, Mark? So you were talking about the fact that despite numerous letters, there was the silence coming back.
Correct.
And then the prices just went up, and then you forced to buy your liquor and food from them, meaning SA Rugby's vendors and suppliers, which means that you aren't in a position to make a margin as you ordinarily would, which feeds rugby. Just talk to me about those numbers.
So the understanding is that in previous years,
yes,
Pirates ran an amazing show. We'd started Pirates, we'd put 250-300 guys on buses. In fact, even more. Our lady there, Non Wellsford, would get another 10 buses.
I know Non well, yes.
And she'd buy 300 tickets apart from our 250 tickets. So we'd have 500-600 guys at Pirates, all come through to Ellis Park on buses. We would, in the kickoff alone, we would then cater for everybody ourselves.
Yes.
We had our own caterer. We'd buy booze from Ellis Park. We'd have a band playing there. Sometimes we'd get up. We've had one of our greatest coaches is Dickie Muir.
Of course.
And
yeah.
Dickie would come and entertain the people with some stories.
Stories.
And that was the show that we ran, and people loved it. And seriously, you're right what you're saying. We'd have people from around the world that would come in, and they came, yes, specifically for the test matches, but that's fun, you know, for us, because they would support Pirates in other ways.
Yes.
By sponsoring the club, and sponsoring the players, etc., like that. So the prices were unreasonable for us. They, with SA Rugby taking over the stadium, taking over our suite, there was no margin for us to make any money whatsoever.
And you had to pay extra for test tickets that you previously got along with your season ticket allotment.
I can't give you the exact time,
sure,
dates, but for as long as I can remember, and I've been involved with over 20 years with this, when you purchased your season ticket, you got a test ticket with it.
Yes.
And last year it started, you had a buy your season ticket, I think was around about 1800 Rand. And then the test ticket, where our tickets are, which are amazing, in the main grandstand on the halfway line, West Upper.
Amazing.
Those tickets we had a purchase for just over 3000 Rand. So suddenly you've got that at expense of 2 grand. Plus you've got your season ticket, so your test ticket of 3. So that's 5. Add on the booze and the entertainment and everything.
And Mark, would it be a stretch to say that all of that is now at risk if you lose 750,000 from your suite revenue?
Oh, definitely. Because the players of today, we have to give them some in.
Yeah.
Like I say, as you so rightly said, and Neil will back it up, that with Pirates and Wanderers, we still have to pay club subs.
Yes.
Which I think are about just over 2,300 Rand a year to play sport at
the club, yeah.
So that gets deducted from their first couple of paychecks that they get. To sponsor club rugby is a black hole. So people put money in knowing that there's no return.
Sure.
You do it because of what you've got out of rugby.
Yes.
And as you say, it's blood, sweat and beers. And that's what the guys put it back for. And our problem now is, having lost the suite at Ellis Park, is that part of a contract that we do have with our sponsors, that we give back by giving them test tickets to go to take their wives to go to our box for free as part of our giving back. And now we can't do it anymore. So if you look at the test ticket price for us, for the RGR series,
yeah,
I mean, that 8,000 Rand plus VAT.
How do you make a margin?
There is no margin, because we pay the same price that they would pay. So there's no margin.
So I asked you way back at the beginning of this interview, Mark, how that makes you feel. So how would you just sum that up in one sentence?
I'm actually devastated. As a Pirate member of over 30 years, for what I've seen, what we've done, what we've accomplished, I'm devastated.
I'm so, so sorry, man, that it's come to this, and we just live in hope that sanity will prevail, and that SARU, there are people there that need to take accountability for this, that they need to see what they've done to loyal, on-the-ground, grassroots rugby clubs that built both players and Springbok supporters. So SARU, Yorks need to sharpen up. You heard from Mark Murray from Pirates, and we're still at Wanderers. And I'm standing with Wanderers Rugby Club's head of rugby here, Neil Khalifi, on their field where they play. And pretty much, Neil, you heard the end of the answers that Mark gave. But can you just tell us, from a Wanderers perspective, how much this change of clean stadium, higher suite prices and ticket prices will affect Wanderers Rugby, your revenue, your ability to put a team on the field, you know, on a Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, look, I can echo on what Mark had to say. It's basically the same line. We rely on the box, a test or two, or at least one test comes with the package.
Yes.
We've been doing that now with Transvaal, or the club has. Transvaal and the Lions in the last 30 odd years. We stand as the two oldest clubs in the Lions rugby fraternity, over 140 years of loyalty, and you know, you've given back so much. I think we stand as the two open clubs that hold suites at Ellis Park.
Yeah.
But having the financials, well, having the package and not having the test, they don't go hand in hand. You need to have the test to actually complement the package. Otherwise, it doesn't work. As what Mark was saying, to fill up to get your clients to actually get
better
URC tickets, it's not as lucrative or as wanting or as attractive as having that test. That test is your game changer.
Yeah.
These top clients, old boys that jump on board with it, buy the day, and or they help you sell the day.
Yes.
Which helps, the revenue helps back into your club. So it goes back into your system, which helps your player base, helps your, it's part of your sponsorship, basically. But it's been ongoing for over 30 years. Just this particular year, it's fallen out. So it's not lucrative at all for us to take the package for the remainder of the season if it doesn't come with a test.
Test tickets.
We can't. I mean, we'll better to, honestly. To open up the suite costs you, but to sell that day, you won't get back what you opened up.
You're not going to get that margin. So what is your reaction to it, Neil? How does Wanderers Rugby Club feel about this change that you actually, were you consulted?
We had to speak to Ellis Park himself. Yeah. He's a lady in charge that runs very, I mean, not on their side. So I wouldn't say that the Lions did try.
Yeah.
As far as we understand, they did their best. But at the end, the buck stops by SA Rugby.
Exactly. And the thing that the anger that I'm perceiving out there, Riel, seems to stem from the fact that loyal people with 20, 30 years of input are being discarded in the name of greed and the Springbok brand. And we all love the Springboks. But you can't have your suite holder, your rugby club, your punter, he's out there marking lines like this and putting real sweat and tears and hard work into rugby, ignored because of this desire to, you know, to sell those. And I mean, I bought tickets for Saturday's game at Loftus for my family.
Yeah.
R1,000 a ticket. Now, if they go and drop those tickets like they did last to 650 or 450, how's that going to make me feel? They've told us no refund. And I know for the sec, because Jan de Quinnen has written in Rugby 365, and he's spoken on Megaphone in Rugby that his own family members were given tickets to Ellis Park free last week. So nobody can say that that's a rumor or it's an old wives' tale. He knows because his family members received free tickets. And Oaks paid R2,300 to sit where those free tickets were.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
Well, if one family got, then lots of families got. It wasn't 100%. Just one family.
Yeah.
So that does put a bit of a bitter taste. I think to put bums on seats to make it look better than what it was.
Yeah.
But I think, as you say, the initial start of being an exorbitant or high amount that they were selling at, people couldn't afford it. I mean, you take a family of four or five, it costs you an arm and a leg to go and watch that test, let alone the All Blacks that are coming. So I'm sure that's going to be something even escalates a little bit more. But in getting a certain amount of numbers, which they, according to the press, hit by Wednesday or Thursday, just over 21 or 22,000, to get to double that in 3 days,
something happened. It would be accurate to say that up to this point, it's been a bit of quid pro quo. Lions Rugby has been good to Pirates and Wanderers in giving you suites, giving you tickets so that you can make that revenue. And now, sorry, have kind of ripped the rug under their feet in the name of a clean stadium.
That's basically the facts.
Yeah,
that's how it stands.
So my question to you, South African rugby, is when you look at an average family like these two gentlemen, or maybe Mark, your sons, because I know your son-in-law, mom and dad, let's just say two kids, you want to go and watch the Springboks play England at Ellis Park. You're in for $4,000 before you buy a cool drink, a beer or a meal, never mind the petrol. And then the very next week, which is in 2 days' time, the Springboks play Scotland at Loftus. There is no way that same family of four can afford to go there. Now, when the greatest rugby rivalry comes out and you've got Soweto, you've got Soccer City, you've got Ellis Park, you've got Loftus, you're going to find even greater pressure on a household income because the ticket prices for that series will be even higher. So South African rugby, I think you need to look yourselves in the mirror, and it needs to start at the top, guys. Mark Alexander and Rian Oberholzer, the gentlemen, don't leave it to your spokesmen and spokeswomen. You guys need to be explaining to the average punter in South Africa why this ticket price increase has caused the anger that it has. And if you're not aware of that anger, then I suggest that you need to start walking around amongst some of the people in the stand, not sitting in the president's suite, and listen to your supporters. Everybody in this country loves the Springboks. They are the excellence that our country can be. I'm not so sure that you guys in the administrative section of South African rugby are following suit. Well, BizNews Tribe, good morning. It is morning where we are, and it's my pleasure to welcome David Coutts Trotter. I spent a couple of hours yesterday talking to representatives of Joburg's two oldest rugby clubs, Wanderers and Pirates, both with huge legacies of Springbok, Lions and Transvaal players over the years. These are both subscription-based clubs, so members actually pay a membership fee. I'm a member of Wanderers, even though I played all my rugby against Wanderers and Pirates for Joburg Police back in the dying days of the amateur era in the early to mid-90s. But these guys are just examples. They personify the anger that seems to be out there amongst ordinary rugby fans who just feel completely let down by SARU's decision to bump these ticket prices into the heavens, most particularly when it comes to suites. And we know that there is a legal action at Loftus from certain of the suite holders who have taken that the legal route. And I just don't have enough background from the commercial side. I understand clean stadiums. I've worked in major sports events for 27 years. So I get clean stadiums and I get commercial rights. What I don't get is the apparent lack of respect for the average rugby fan. But could you just sketch for us why you think SARU would have taken this step that appears to so blatantly dismiss their support base? Everybody loves the Springboks. We know this, but not so much SARU, perhaps. Thanks, David.
Yeah, look, I think one can't kind of be definitive on this because, you know, you can't get inside the heads of SARU, and you sometimes can't believe what they say, you know. So the kind of response to why did we drop the tickets last week, it's the Iran war. I mean, that just is crazy, you know. And to kind of say people can't afford our ticket prices because of the Iran war is just nuts. So how do we get inside their heads? And we have to make certain assumptions and look at, you know, where do the trends take us? And as far as I can see it, they have kind of looked at global ticket prices and said, we've got to set our ticket prices there. The difference, of course, here is people don't earn global incomes in South Africa. So, you know, what is an affordable ticket for a family of four in London is not the same as South Africa. And, you know, if you look at the piece I've written, I think, you know, the RFU makes about 2.7 times the annual revenues that South African rugby does, which sounds crazy when you look at the result of the game last week. You know, they're pretty awful compared to the Springboks. So, you know, I think in their heads is we deserve more income. And they start looking at their different sources and start pushing it. I had a friend of mine who said, well, he thought the tickets had become such an important component of their revenue. And I'm not saying it's a small component, but if you actually look at the big picture, you know, I think last year, 2025, it was about 20% of their revenue, but it's a big cost center as well. You know, it's like 10% of their costs or something. So it's not that profitable compared to the sponsorships and the broadcast. I mean, that's where the really big money is with low outflows, and that's what allows them to run the, you know, the Springbok rugby. And I think, you know, if I had to say what the biggest problem in South African rugby, it is that 400 million that's going back to the provinces. And I'm not saying money shouldn't be going back to support that rugby, because ultimately that's what brings our players through. But it's those same provinces that are voting and making the decisions at SARU. If you actually look at kind of the board of SARU rather than executive, it's those same people. So it's a bit like, you know, you've got shareholders and they're just voting themselves dividends without really considering what is happening to everything else. And I think, and I've been watching the last couple of days, I bought some tickets last night. And again, they've dropped the prices. I don't think they're going to admit it. And they do it because they just slowly change the category of seats from C to D, et cetera. And it's amazing how quickly those seats sell out. So I think that's proving there is a real price sensitivity. So tickets got moved sometime late yesterday from 1,000 to 750. If you look at those tickets today, they're almost all gone. I'm just not sure they've done proper research into what's affordable and what's not. I don't think they've looked at all the impacts, and I think the boxes are a completely different story. But you know, the same theme, but again, I don't think they've consulted with, spoken to the people that are affected, and it's got real effects. It sounds like to me, it's the majority of Loftus boxes at 300 out of 400 or something.
Exactly. There's only 100 sold. Yeah. And you know, David, that there's always an inevitable level of arrogance when you don't consult. So I think, you know, if you look at a cliche like, you know, have they read the room? I don't think that they've read the room. They are not understanding the average South African family. And we all want to go and watch the box. So, David, can I just ask another question? So in your commercial unpacking previously, the Union hosting the test match, they got the benefit of the gate. That has changed now, hasn't it? So that the ticket revenue all goes to SARU, and then presumably SARU pay Lions or Blue Bulls Rugby a hosting fee. And that's the only way that they are able to earn revenue. And that's where they're losing their clubs, because Wanderers and Pirates' a relationship is with the Provincial Union. So in Pirates' case, they've got a 220-strong seat called the Kickoff Suite. Suite, sorry, not seat. 220-seat suite called the Kickoff, where with 220 punters all coming in, you can make decent revenue. They reckon they're losing around R750,000. And that puts, I asked the question pertinently, that puts that rugby club at risk. But the point is, the relationship is not with SARU. The relationship is with Lions Rugby. And SARU have just disrespected that, in my view.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think, you know, when you change these models, you know, I think you've got to have a really good think, again, consult properly, because there are unintended consequences. Those are not necessarily things which SARU, you know, board directors, etc. Although the way I've described it to you, they should know. Because at the end of the day, it's those same people that are running those unions, and they should know what the consequences are. So again, do we come back to that word arrogance, tone deaf, you know, not reading the room, because that appears to be what's going on.
The point you made, and it's another cliche, I apologize, but it literally, that board is like turkeys voting for Christmas. And until they get proper oversight on that board, because it would appear as if Mark Alexander and Rian Oberholzer are kind of like do as they please. I mean, nobody has really held them accountable or hold them over the coals for almost selling the family silver and paying Eddie, the Irish racing driver whose name, surname I can't remember, a 200 million rand commission and almost selling a portion of our commercial rights that we would now be regretting, as New Zealand are, because there isn't proper oversight. And possibly the reason that there isn't proper oversight is because those, to use Will Carling's words, those old farts don't have some of the nous that people like you have to interrogate a deal and to interrogate a commercial model and find out what works, while always taking into account the fact that there's an ordinary family wanting to go and watch rugby, you know, read the room.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, as we pulled out in the report, it doesn't help to go and raise capital if you've got a business model problem. You know, all you do is you just postpone your problem. You spend your capital, you survive for 10 years, and then you've got the same problem. And one just does wonder, do all of those people understand the difference and understand the importance of getting the business model right? And, you know, I absolutely understand, you know, they do need to increase their revenues, but, you know, maybe there's costs that they need to be managing as well. Are there things which are not working? But it doesn't seem like this is the right way, is to try and, you know, hammer the public. And in fact, they're just not going to pay. They don't have it. It's not that they don't want to. They just don't have it. You're not going to get it.
And it's not a consequence of the Iran war. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if the thing's not selling, it has to bring the price down until it's saleable.
And to your point, David, you know, the tried and tested, and of course we move with the times and change is a good thing. But the model that has always worked for decades is early bird discounts. And these guys have done the opposite. So the poor father who went and took 2,350 rand out of his family savings and paid almost 10 grand for his wife and the two kids to go in that family example we used. All of a sudden, they dropped that price to, I think they dropped it initially to 1,050, and then they dropped it to 650 rand. Whereas if you could have got it at 650 rand as an early bird discount, that stadium would have been full last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And my gut feel is the revenue yield would have been better because those tickets were selling fast. I think there's a lot of people that gave up that were oblivious to what was going on. You know, it's kind of just the connected people with kids and people really interested in going that you find out. Go online, the tickets have come down dramatically. And they were keeping it hush-hush. They never announced it. They've never really addressed it properly. I haven't heard any of the really senior people talking to what were they doing. And then you hear a promise, we're never going to do it again. Well, I mean, they're doing it this week.
Yeah.
But they're doing it.
So to that point exactly, and that's probably where we can park this, David, is that speaking to, again, to the Wanderers and Pirates guys, they said that they were met with deafening silence as they kept asking Lions Rugby, what's going on with the test match? You know, when do we get our ticket allocation? It sounds like what happens when South Africans try and reach out to our government and you just do not get a response. So the arrogance that we spoke about has now extended that far, where they are actually taking loyal rugby fans for granted. And then you get this. So when the point is, wherever there's a lack of transparency, you need to be concerned. And if they are not being transparent, they being SARU, haven't been transparent. And I'm actually calling on the chief executive, you know, call on Rian. Rian, why don't you come and explain to South Africa what the reason is? Because I quite appreciate that there'll be another side to the story. I mean, I've been around long enough to not be that naive, but don't bring the media person. Let's hear from the person where the buck stops. Come and tell us, because there's a lot of anger out there, real anger. Look at the BizNews tribe, where I think we've got, I don't know, 650 at last count premium subscribers. And if you look at the comments on there, people are really angry to the extent that people are legitimately saying, well, we're going to boycott. We will not go back to a stadium until you start respecting us again and answer our questions. That is something that SARU really need to take cognizance of. And I'd like to hear from the leadership.
No, I agree. It's 100% right. I think people are angry. And I agree. I mean, you just have to look at the BizNews shop. But, you know, with respect to the BizNews shop, they're probably a relatively well-off sector.
Exactly.
But, you know, can actually, you know, I mean, I can afford to pay 2.5 grand a seat or whatever. I just find it very difficult to justify. And it's wrong. And I do think it's really awful that we have so many people that can't go at all. You know, that for me is a real tragedy. And you're 100% right. I think the leadership needs to address this. They should have addressed this before last week, going into last week. What are they doing? Why are they doing it? You know, there was just kind of a blunt, there won't be refunds. I don't know who that came out of, but I think it came out of Andy Colleen or somebody, I think, said something on the, you know, you can't do that. You can't have a spokesperson just saying, well, you know, we can't. The Ticketmaster doesn't allow it. Now, that's a decision. You've taken a business decision. Why have you taken it? Explain it, rationalize it. But, you know, when you take 60,000 times a number, and then the number's 50,000 or 35 or 40 because that's all you can get in, it's a very different number. So, you know, filling it up is part of maxing that revenue, you know. It's not just about putting the price as high as you can.
David Coutts-Trotter, thank you so much for your input, both that of your article as well as speaking to us today. I'm Rory Steyn, BizNews Tribe. We wish you a happy weekend's rugby viewing. Good afternoon.
In uncertain times, good information is priceless. The BizNews Conference is heading back to the Drakensberg. Join me, Alec Hogg, from the 11th to the 14th of August for BNC 9, Champagne Sports Resort, where it all began and where our community gathers for honest conversations, smart investing insights, and direct access to some of South Africa's sharpest minds. Come and rub shoulders with the best we've got. 28 keynote speakers, 3 days. Seats are available now. Book your seat by clicking the link in the description. Start your day a step ahead. BizNews Insider. It delivers the business stories that matter every morning straight to your inbox, sharp, fast, and free. Subscribe now.